Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. If you want a chance to win some HTO, you can do that right to kick off hour number two. All you got to do is text the keyword T to the short code 20357 right now for your chance at a free iced tea featuring the all-new root beer flavor and featuring some free iced or hot coffee. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, the keyword is T. And you can text it to 20357. Welcome back in, everybody. Jake Balbrock, Tommy Kester here with you for another hour. Coming up in this hour, our betting insider, PJ Glasser, helps us look ahead to a big conference championship weekend. We'll be able to, with only a couple of games, be able to dig really deep into some of the fun and crazy bets of these games. Tommy's got a fun long shot one. He can run by PJ that he showed me last night. It's interesting. We can also talk to Tim Fitzgerald about who knows what. We got a lot to talk about Tim Fitzgerald. I want to talk about Tim. You know, we can talk about K-State. Of course, he's our K-State insider. But also, year one of the CFP, takeaways, the fallout, what could change, all those kinds of things, too. So a big hour of the show coming up here. Can't wait to do it with you. All right, Tommy, let's get to some Chiefs specifically here in this segment before we get into the betting aspect with PJ Glasser. I don't think... You know, we're not the language is clear. Everyone's breakdowns are kind of the same. Like, nobody knows what to expect here in this game. I think everybody expects that it will be a great game. I think there are 1,000 different ways both teams can attack here. I think this will be, we haven't talked about this, like coaching and strategy and all of that are going to have, I think, a really big impact on this game. Even maybe not as much as the two quarterbacks. I think that'd be crazy to say. But the way both teams attack it will be fascinating to watch. How each team decides to go after the other team.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that there's going to be a whole lot of major in-game adjustments in like chess match between the two coaches. I think it's going to be more of what the game plan going into the game is and who's got a better one, right? I think that's honestly what I see, because there are a number of different ways that, you know, like each team can attack the other one. And it just depends on who's got the better game plan and who can execute it better. There might be, I mean, obviously, I think there are going to be some tweaks in game, but I think that's going to be, you know, less impactful than just what the incoming game plan is.
I agree with that. They're going to make quarterbacks are going to make the
for sure.
Games. Yeah. Like they're going to be the ones that change things up, but I am very curious to see and know and be a fly on the wall to in those offensive meetings for the Chiefs. Like what's the plan here? What is the plan going to be against Buffalo? I think it's going to be similar to what we saw at the end of the year. Like Texans, Steelers, quick strike. I think this is an Xavier Worthy game. I've always thought this had the potential, even before, you know, assuming it was the Bills, because I thought it would be the Bills, where Worthy has a chance to be a big impact player in this game. I think the way the Bills handle Travis Kelce is like right out of the gates the most interesting thing. They can adjust that within a game, though. But like, are they going to take the approach the Texans took? Are they going to take the approach everybody else took for most of the season? And I don't even know what I think the right answer to that is, quite frankly, Tommy. Like, if I was a Bills fan, I don't know which of those things I would prefer. I really don't. That will be the first thing I think we watch for. I don't think the Chiefs are going to come out and run it 30 times. I don't think that's going to be what they do. So how do they attack that? And then on the other side, on the defensive side, we saw how effective the aggressive defense was late against the Texans. Do you take a chance and start the game that way? But if you do that and Josh Allen picks you apart a little bit, are the Chiefs capable of playing from behind against a team like the Bills? I don't know that I think they are. That hasn't been what they do all year.
One of the best things that Steve Spagnuolo does is when he smells blood in the water, that's when he like just throws the house at you, you know, and everybody comes flying at you. That's what they did with the Texans and C.J. Stroud and all of that. What I don't think Steve Spagnuolo usually does, and I guess I haven't gone through and looked game by game, but I'm not sure he usually starts that way, right? Like, I'm not sure it's like, let's just like absolutely throw the house at the opponents, like from the moment that the ball is kicked off. It's almost like, let's settle in and let's see what, you know, we're getting from these guys. And then when we can, actually make things happen, that's when we'll, you know, go after it.
How risky, too, do you think, not just in like in that perspective, but like we're going to see in the other game, probably no aversion to going forward on fourth down, like kind of like we saw with the Commanders and Lions, right? I think the Eagles are also aggressive there. How aggressive do you think the decision making will be for the head coaches in this game also? Because to me, this does feel a little different than in some of the other Chiefs Bills meetings where it's like, all right, like we got to score at every chance, fourth and three. Punt does nothing for us. I don't think that's the case for these teams this year. Like, I think, you know, field position and ball control do matter to both of these teams. And the way that they are kind of designed this year makes me wonder how aggressive the coaches will be with some in-game decision-making. The Texans were very aggressive with in-game decision-making, and it bit them hard against the Chiefs, going for long field goals, like those kinds of things really bit them in the butt. Do you think these teams want to control it, or do you think they want to limit the potential for turnaround moments like that when they maybe don't convert or don't land a 56-yard field goal in the elements, those kinds of things?
I think you got to pick your spot. I don't think that it can be something where, you know, aggressively, at least if we're talking about the way that Andy Reid wants to call this game offensively for the Chiefs, like I don't think that you're going to be well served by being uber aggressive offensively from the get-go. I think you have to pick your spots because, you know, this team, yeah, you've got some deep threats, but we also know the limitations that the Chiefs have offensively as far as like giving Patrick Mahomes a good amount of time in the pocket to be able to find that deep shot, whether that's Xavier Worthy or Hollywood Brown or otherwise. So if you can find ways to loosen things up a little bit and give Mahomes more time in the pocket to allow those downfield deep shots to materialize, then yeah, sure. I think you pick your spots and you find opportunities to make that happen. I'm not sure that you want to be uber aggressive with your offensive play calling from the start. I think it's different for the Bills. I think the Bills from the beginning, I think you want to try to find ways from the beginning to get Josh Allen some deep shots and to, you know, find ways to have the big chunk plays happen. And I think that's where guys like Trent McDuffie and Jalen Watson have to be ready to go from the moment that the ball is kicked off.
I'm talking even more in-game decisions too. Like, I'll give you a scenario. Opening drive, Chiefs take the opening kickoff. No score. Right? You've got it fourth and two at the 50-yard line. Kansas City with the ball. What do you do if you're Andy Reid?
I think you probably go for it. I mean, I think as far as like those aggressive, you know, play call decisions that's, like that, I think
that's
I'm
what
okay
I'm talking
about. Yeah, okay.
But are you willing to miss and give Josh Allen the opportunity at a short field and put your team behind early? That's where I think I'll be curious to see it, because you know what obviously Mahomes and the players will want to do. My gut says they would go for it. But if you miss it, I think what would create the problem for the Chiefs in this game is if they get behind at any point by a couple of scores. That's where the Bills have you sort of in their wheelhouse now. They can run the ball. They can run it with Cook or Josh Allen. They can go into basically the game plan they took against the Ravens, which was you ain't going to get the ball much. Like we're going to take the air out of the balloon here, and we're just going to ride this. The Bills are totally capable of that as much as they're capable of putting up 30 if they need to. the Chiefs are more inclined to be on the right side of that on their end, right? Kind of get an early lead and be able to control the tempo of the game. I don't know that I think the Chiefs are ready to all of a sudden do something we haven't seen them really do all year, and that's getting to a track meet. We know historically they're capable of that. That has not been what they've done this year, ever.
That's not the way able to do that. That's not the way they want the game script to go on
Sunday. So that's what I mean. Are you then more conservative in your decision-making early to ensure that you don't allow yourself to get down that way? That's what I'm talking about. And maybe, I don't know what I think on that.
Maybe, yet. But I mean, I think Buffalo's offense is potent enough that whether you're giving the Bills a short field or a long field, the Bills are gonna find ways to get points on the board. So I'm not sure
they
that,
are, but I don't want to take too much away from the Chiefs defense.
No. But what I'm saying is, watch what the Bills have done all season long. Like, they can put points up in droves, and you know, they did that against the Chiefs last time. So it's not taking anything away from the Chiefs defense. They've been really good. It's more of a tip of the hat to what Buffalo can do offensively. And I'll be the first to admit, I was caught off guard probably midway through the season that the Bills offense was so potent, because I didn't think that they would be going into this season. I thought they'd even take a step back. That's a credit to Josh Allen for sure, because he's been able to take, you know, some of these newcomers, especially in the pass catching role, and they've been able to deliver. And so it's respect fully to them, but I don't think it matters if, you know, going back to that scenario that you posed, opening drive, 4th and 2, midfield, do you go for it? I think even if you don't and you punt it away, the Bills can still push the ball down the field. So I'm not sure it even necessarily matters all that much.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs defense is a little better than that, but we'll get into it. PJ Glasser, see what he thinks of the tone of this game, because it's a big total. 47.5 is as big as the Chiefs have had all year. We'll talk about that next. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
On the line now, the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider Calls, presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the Send It In podcast for more analysis. Just search Send It In wherever you find your podcast. We do welcome in PJ Glasser, our betting insider. We have two games, PJ, which means we can really dig into two games and take a good, deep look at these. We'll start in the NFC. It's up first, Commanders, Eagles. This is a fascinating one. These two teams know each other well. They've played twice. 6-point favorite right now, the Eagles are, with a 47.5 over under. How are we attacking this one? Welcome in.
Yeah, good to be with you guys. This is an interesting game. For me, I think there are two major concerns I have for Washington. The first one being that, you know, Jaden's facing a team that's seen him two times already this season, right? When they went up against Detroit, that was the first time the Lions saw him this year. When they played Tampa in the wild card round, Washington played them all the way back in week 1. But I mean, Jaden Daniels week 1 compared to what we see now is night and day, right? How he's progressed throughout the season. So this Eagles team faced him in week 16 pretty recently. They've gotten 2 looks at him. So I think that's advantage for Philly. You know, obviously Jaden's got some tape on how the Eagles played him as well, but going up against one of the better defenses, one of the better coordinators in the NFL and Vic Fangio, I think that's a big deal for Philly. And then also, guys, look, I think the weather could have an impact on this game, right? I mean, even though it does get cold in the DC area, Jaden Daniels really hasn't had to play a game in cold weather, especially of this magnitude, right? He hasn't had to deal with any of that. They played in a dome at Ford Field against the Lions. They played in Tampa Bay, where obviously the weather's really nice. Now you're going up against the Eagles, where it doesn't look like it's supposed to snow or we're supposed to have any rain, but it is going to be in the 30s, you know, so it is going to be chillier. This is a guy who played his college ball at Arizona State, LSU. So anytime you're dealing with the quarterback that's not used to this kind of thing, especially in the NFC Championship game, I think that's worth noting as well. So just off the bat, like, initial thoughts on the game are, the familiarity that the Eagles have. Jaden's got to deal with some cold weather as well. And then, you know, for the Eagles side, obviously, Jalen Hurts, what's his injury status? I think that's a big factor in this game as well. I lean Eagles minus six, just because, you know, you think about how the fact Detroit was like a 9.5-point favorite against Washington, and you certainly have to upgrade the Commanders for that win. Lions also had five turnovers in the game. Philly hasn't had any turnovers yet this postseason. So it feels like the line should be over seven, but because of the recency bias of Washington, how good Jaden Daniels has looked, it feels like we're kind of overvaluing them a little bit. So I lean towards Philly here, minus six.
Is this a spot, PJ, that you feel like hammering Saquon, you know, is the way to go offensively for the Eagles, knowing the injuries that Jalen Hurts has had and, you know, even kind of a little bit of a lack of effectiveness even when he's been healthier? Is this a spot where you feel like Philly's really going to lean on Saquon?
I mean, that's certainly what the odds makers are telling you, right? Guys, his rushing yards are 130.5. I've never seen that before. 130.5. What's crazy, though, about these two matchups when they've played each other, and we've kind of seen this in the playoffs, too, is Saquon, his rushing numbers are kind of skewed in the sense that, like, for much of the game, like, you can bottle him up. It's just, like, every game he's good for, like, a 60, 70-yard run, right? And that's what scares you about the rushing yards. So, guys, honestly, the way I would play Saquon is his longest rush is only 21.5. I think that's a good bet, just taking the over. Or if you are going to bet Saquon rushing yards, like, go crazy. Go 150 plus, 175 plus, maybe even 200 plus. Like, that rushing number is so high at 130.5. Like, at that point, I would just bet him 150, 175, 200. Because, again, like, his two games against Washington, they've done a pretty good job for the most part against him. It's just in each game, he's had runs for like 60, 70 yards where he breaks it for a touchdown. So, you know, with the injury of Hurts, the Eagles are going to feature Saquon a lot. He's probably going to get 25, 30 carries in this game. So it's hard to go under on anything with his rushing numbers, but it's, 130.5 is crazy. So I think if you're going to take the over, guys, you might as well just take some alternates.
So the one of the others on the other side that feels like it just, if Washington's going to do anything, it has to be so. Like Terry McLaurin, 64.5. Terry McLaurin's been so reliable for Jaden Daniels. I know the Philly corners are really good, but that seems low-ish for a guy who's been as big a part of the offense in a big spot like this with a rookie quarterback who you think will lean into what's, you know, been so successful for them this year. I think that one's interesting. I think Jaden Daniels rushing total around 55 is interesting. Like you kind of go, you ride the horse that got you there. Those should be attackable numbers maybe.
So the Terry one is interesting, Jacob. And I think the reason it's maybe low in the eyes of a lot of people is because when these two teams played in Philly on that Thursday night game, Terry only had one catch for 10 yards. And Quinyon Mitchell was the primary defender in that game. Eagles got some good news yesterday on the injury report that it looks like he's going to be good to go. So Mitchell's going to be out there. That was the guy that Terry struggled with when they matched up in Philly. So even though he's obviously had a great postseason, I think that's the reason the number is what it is. And honestly, why I'm staying away, because we know the Eagles do have really good secondary and really good corners. And McLaurin did struggle against Mitchell, and everybody's really struggling against Mitchell this season. So I'm kind of staying away from Terry at 64.5. Jaden Daniels' rushing yards is interesting. You know, the way he's kind of been this postseason is you've almost wanted to bet his attempts and stayed away from the yards because the volume is there, but he really hasn't been able to break that many big runs. And I kind of feel like this is going to be that same game. Anytime you get a team who has a rushing quarterback of their own and they get to see that every day in practice, I always think that's a little bit of an advantage for a team. Detroit is notorious for struggling against running quarterbacks, which makes sense because they have Goff, right? So I think the matchup for Philadelphia is a pretty good one. And again, rushing yards at 54.5. I think if you're going to bet anything with Jaden, it would be the attempts, but it's at 10.5. So, you know, the sports books kind of have the idea that all of us do that. Again, it's the NFC title game. Like there's no tomorrow. You're 60 minutes from a Super Bowl. He's a great runner. Like run him if you have to. So if anything, with McLaurin, I'd actually look under at 64.5. With Jaden Daniels, I'd probably just stay away. It feels like those numbers are pretty sharp.
I'll tell you one guy that I actually really like on the Commander side is Zach Ertz. I mean, he's playing his former team with a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and he can be, you know, sort of that security blanket, you know, for Jaden Daniels in this game, at least in passing the ball. Do you feel like this is a game where he can maybe shine, whether we're talking about targets or receptions or even an anytime touchdown?
Absolutely. My favorite anytime touchdown score bet, Tommy, in this game is Zach Ertz, yeah, plus 275. I think that's great value because that's been Daniel's guy in the red zone. I think for Austin Eckler to be priced the same as Zach Ertz for an anytime touchdown really doesn't make much sense to me, right? Or Eckler's kind of a third down back. He's a receiver. He'll be in there for certain snaps. But as we know, Ertz is going to be out there for a majority of the game, especially when they're in the red zone. So like you said it, I mean, you know, revenge angle going against your former team. You could certainly see him getting a touchdown. And, you know, when Washington's in the red zone, they're going to focus on Jaden's legs, Brian Robinson, McLaurin, and that'll open up some opportunities for Zach Ertz to make a catch. So, yeah, when it comes to Zach Ertz, I already bet him plus 275, favorite bet in this game for an anytime touchdown score.
So, Jalen Hurts, let's talk about the quarterbacks for a second. Jalen Hurts hasn't cleared his total, which is at 181. He's done it like one time in the last seven games. Washington doesn't have the best defense in the world, but the way he's played and he's banged up, I mean, what world is Jalen Hurts clearing 181?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's I'm staying away from Hurts and Eagles receivers because it's, like you said, the matchup, they should be able to move the ball through the air against Washington's defense. But again, like, they're going to run Saquon, and if they're having success with it, like, why go away from it? So, maybe this is something that you bet live in game, right? Like, if Washington gets an early lead, if Washington is doing a good job against Saquon and the game is calling for Hurts to make some plays through the air, you know, it won't bump up that much, but you'll know that they're going to need to make some plays. So it's so tough to know, like, which Eagles receiver is going to step up. You would think it would be Brown, Devontae Smith potentially, but Hurts is banged up. And even in these couple games, guys, where he hasn't been this hurt, you know, that they haven't been effective through the air. So, yeah, Jacob, I wish I could give you a definitive answer, but I think that's the best way to look at it is you just wait to see how the game plays out. Because if the Eagles don't need to throw the ball, there's no reason that they're going to.
Okay, so this might be a good question to kind of bridge the gap between the two games. I told Jacob about this last night. This is my favorite long shot bet of the entire weekend, and I've seen it going around a few different places on social media. Tell me if you think I'm crazy on this, but it's for all four teams to score two rushing touchdowns in the game. Now, three of the four had three last week in their games. The Commanders, the Eagles, and the Bills all had three rushing touchdowns. The Chiefs only had one. That's going to be probably the toughest leg to complete. But the odds on that, plus 10,000 to complete that. So that's my favorite long shot bet of the weekend. Is that wild and it's like stupid for me to put money down on that?
I mean, at that price, I don't think it is. And look, again, you have some teams that want to run, right? I mean, you feel good about the Eagles getting you that. You know, if the Bills get inside the two, they're just going to sneak it with Josh Allen. Yep. And that's unstoppable. So you'll get that. Washington and Kansas City, like you said, will be the tougher ones. Brian Robinson's been good for them inside the five. Daniels, as we know, has great legs. But, you know, anytime it's a long shot bet like that, Tommy, you just want something where you can sprinkle a little to make a lot. And it's not out of the realm of possibility, right? So I do like that, especially at those odds. I think it's worth it. Like you said, KC, Washington will probably be the toughest two legs. But I don't think it's crazy at all to think that those two teams couldn't score two rushing touchdowns. So I like it.
I love all the long shot bets. Let's transition to the other game. I feel like PJ, I've had a good read on the Chiefs all year, made good money with the Chiefs. I am struggling with this one. I feel like a 47.5 total is high. But I can't figure and I can't convince myself how either team is going to attack this game. Because I think what we saw last week from both of them may be totally out the window for this one. I think they can each go at it a million different ways, so I can't get a good read on how this game's going to like the flow of the game in order to look at any of these props or anything. I like the Chiefs to cover, but everything else is tough.
So I like the first half under at 23.5 because both of these teams have been exceptional this season at letting the other team make a mistake, right? So it's kind of like, I call this steady Eddie when you're playing against the guy in ping pong guys, right? When you're just playing a guy that just keeps hitting it back to you. He doesn't try and hit the edges. He doesn't try and slam it. He just keeps hitting it back to you, right? And he's just making the safe play. That's what the Chiefs and Bills do. The Ravens outplayed Buffalo last week, but because of the three turnovers, the Bills were able to win the game. The Texans outgained the Chiefs last week, but because the Texans turned the ball over, the Chiefs were able to win that game. So I think both teams are kind of going to ease their way into it. We know Kansas City hasn't scored more than 30 points in a game this season. Buffalo, I think, is going to be pretty conservative because they do not want to make any kind of mistake to give the Chiefs the ball or an extra possession early in the game. So I do like under 23.5 in the first half. However, I think I like the full game over, Jacob, at 47.5 because the Bills have scored more than 24 points in 12 straight games. They scored over 30 against Kansas City. Bills offense is just too consistent. They're too good. Even against that great Chiefs defense, I think they're going to be able to score. And then on the flip side, I think Kansas City is going to be able to score some points too, because I do feel like the Bills defense is a bit overrated. The Ravens didn't punt in that game last week. The only, you know, their drives only stalled because of the turnovers. So I think Kansas City is going to be able to move the ball. I think they're going to be able to score. So I kind of see like a 10-10 game at halftime. And then I think in the second half, we start to see these offenses kind of unleash it a little bit. And that's the way these games tend to go in the playoffs. You know, these games are high scoring, instant classic, back and forth, shootout duels between Mahomes and Allen. I kind of feel like we're getting the same thing. So I like a first half under, full game over. And I'm with you. I like the Chiefs to win the game. Until somebody can go in there and beat them in Arrowhead, it's tough for me to bet against them.
I certainly didn't envision the lack of overall yardage from Josh Allen in the game last week. You know, I had him over in passing yards. Actually, I think I had him over in passing and rushing yards combined last week. He didn't do a whole lot as far as yardage was concerned in that Ravens game. Is that something you think that can continue for him in this game? I'm sure the Chiefs defense would love that. Or will we see Allen put up a number of yards that we're more accustomed to?
If you like the Bills to win the game, I think it's the yardage we're more accustomed to, because the Bills, it was very Chief-like last week. You know, they did what they had to do and they let the Ravens make the mistakes. You know, Allen didn't turn the ball over. He made plays when he had to. They capitalized on the turnovers, but he did not have to be Superman last week. But this week he's going to have to. He's going to have to against Kansas City if they want to get over the hump, if they want to beat the Chiefs. So I think if you like the Bills, this is the game where, you know, you bet the Allen passing and receiving or rushing yards. I like his over rushing attempts, guys, at 9.5 at even money plus 100. Every time that Josh Allen plays the Chiefs, they run him, and they run him quite a bit. And this is the AFC Championship game. You're 60 minutes from a Super Bowl. They got to use their best player every which way they can. So the ball's going to be in his hands a ton. You're going to get at least 4 or 5 carries from him on short yardage. You're going to get design runs. You're going to get scrambles. So I expect 11, 12 carries from Allen on Sunday. I like his over rushing attempts.
I agree with that. I think both quarterbacks are prone to run in this matchup. Tommy gave you a long shot bet. I'm going to give you a long shot bet here, PJ.
Okay.
And this one isn't even, it's not crazy like Tommy's, but it's, you know, it's long. Xavier Worthy, it feels like a Worthy game to me. You can get Worthy right now, BetMGM, at 100 plus yards, which he has not done this year. I understand that. At 6-1. 6-1, you put that with his over 4.5 receptions, which are 4.5. You can get it up to 7-1 for a Worthy game. And the reason I like it is because I think they're going to pepper him with targets in this game. I think he'll sort of, you know, be what Kelsey was in the last one. He just got to break one off.
Yep.
Fastest dude in football has to break one off at 7-1 odds in a game where I feel like they're going to feature him. There's my long shot play of the week.
Well, and I like it because you think about Buffalo so far in the postseason, right? They give up that long touchdown to Denver, to Troy Franklin. Bateman hit him with a couple of long passes. So, I mean, that should be Xavier Worthy this week. And in a game where Buffalo's probably going to have to continue to score, the Chiefs are going to have to continue to score. There are going to be some opportunities there for Worthy. We know he was the only receiver to catch a pass last week for Kansas City. So at the price, it's 6-1. Jacob, I'm with you. I think that's a good long shot.
What about your other favorite bets in this game?
Yeah, so I like the Chiefs on the money line at -130, like I was saying. It's just, you know, Buffalo might be the better team. The margin of error, though, that you have to beat Kansas City, especially on the road, is just so slim. And these teams, I think it's all mental at this point. You know, like one turnover almost feels like three against the Chiefs. So until somebody can knock them off, I can't bet against them. I do like the Chiefs in the game. I told you guys I like Josh Allen over rushing attempts. I think that's a good bet. I also like Bucker over 1.5 field goals as well. Because, you know, again, like I do think the Chiefs are going to be able to move the ball. They have not been as good a red zone team as we have seen throughout the years. They've been settling for way more field goals than we've seen in the Mahomes and Andy Reid era. So I think over 1.5 field goals for Bucker, I think that's another good bet as well.
BJ, appreciate it. Check out the Send It In podcast, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, presented by BetMGM. Thanks for being here. We got a Super Bowl. We'll get 2 weeks to talk about the Super Bowl, BJ. Talk to you next week.
Yep. See you guys next week. Take care.
Coming right back. Should have Tim Fitzgerald next. Don't go away.
Oh, okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in to Sports Daily, everybody. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you, along with Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider. If you're on your way into work, you want to keep listening to this full interview or anything else you might miss on the show, you can do that. Go to the Odyssey app, search Sports Daily, search KFH, and download the show and listen to it anytime you want. Fitz, welcome in. Always a pleasure to have you. Always curious about all sorts of things in life. What is the meaning of life, Fitz? Let's just start there. What is the meaning of life? And, you know, we never know what we're going to get with Fitz.
You go through life and you buy socks. That's pretty much it. You get socks and you lose one at a time. And
one gets a hole in it. Yeah.
And then I'm hopeful that when I pass away, my former dogs, family members, and lost socks will greet me there.
I'm going to ask you a question about socks. This is a good – we'll get to the important things in just a second. I wonder this all important. The time. Am I the only person that will wear a sock with a hole like the size of a silver dollar in it? Like, why do we cling to these things? It'd be so easy to just get a new pair of socks. Why do I have so many holes in my socks and in my underwear? Am I alone in that, or is that like a thing that guys do in general?
I don't. Tommy, do you do that? I don't.
I don't do.
Okay, it's a me thing then. Okay, checking. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, Fitz, K-State last night they had an opportunity, a really really good opportunity. We talked about this in the first hour. I do think there's a difference in what we've seen through the second half of KU, basically through that entire game last night, and let's say what we saw against Houston. I do think the team feels more inspired, at least at this point, and more capable of winning some Big 12 games maybe we didn't think they had a chance at 2-3 weeks ago.
They've definitely made progress. And if you're a gambler, they've covered the last three games. Woo! But, you know, it's not enough for a lot of fans. They want to see the W's, but in, you know, talking to Jerome Tang, he sees the progress. I think they felt like they had a really good shot last night, and they did. And then Baylor just kind of took it to them. And K-State is possibly the worst final 5-minute team I've ever seen in my life. They went like 3.5 minutes into the game last night without scoring. They scored like 4 points and, you know, a long stretch there towards the end. And as Jerome Tang, though, said, in postgame, it wasn't really offense that did them in. Baylor scored like 44 points in the second half, guys.
Yeah.
They did a great job in the first half of bottling up Baylor. Baylor went from shooting 25% in the first half to 60% in the second half. And, you know, maybe a lot of that was just Baylor shot the rock better. But these are trends now we're beginning to see that this K-State team fades. They're going to have to figure that one out. And they better figure it out quick because they've got, what, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, and pretty soon they're going to run into Kansas, Arizona, you know, and it's just going to be a gauntlet of teams. They've got a lot of ahead of them that they need to keep getting better if they want to be competitive in the next, I don't know, 3 weeks.
I thought about this a lot during the Sunflower Showdown on Saturday that, you know, it would have been really easy for the Wildcats to just, you know, fold up like a cheap lawn chair after they got punched in the mouth when the game started by the Jayhawks. And they didn't. They hung tough. Yeah. And Coleman Hawkins had probably his best game as a Wildcat. You know, of course, Kansas was missing KJ Adams. And you know, so there was definitely, you know, that whole aspect of it as well.
It helped.
But I felt like, you know, they showed that heart and that intensity to try to get back in the game, cut the lead, you know, to six a couple of different moments. And I thought that that effort, for the most part, carried over into the game last night as well. I wonder, like, what is it going to take to just get over that hump then? Like, and I know you mentioned the final 5 minutes of the Baylor game last night. But, man, like, at least in the KU game on Saturday, they didn't start well. And, yeah, they had to pull themselves out of a hole. But it would have been really easy to just kind of go home and say it's not going to be our night.
Right. Right. And that's been the big change is this team looks like it wants to compete. You know, in the past, you know, before this latest stretch, it didn't even look like they were interested in competing. They didn't seem to be engaged in any way in the game. They're engaged. Are they great? No, they're not great. They're not a great team. They have underperformed what we thought they would be, even when they're good. And I think they're beginning to find an identity. They're beginning to use more pieces selectively. You know, we saw David Castillo play some critical minutes again last night, and I think you just need to keep putting him out there. And for all of those thoughts that it's a transfer portal, transfer portal, transfer portal, Baylor had a freshman drop 30 on K-State last night.
Right.
So those players still exist. They might be hard to find, but I think Jerome Tang's ready to start the process of, you know, doing it in a more rounded way instead of just with transfer portal guys. And you know what? It's going to be a difficult transition because they got themselves in the middle of a river now, and they're going to change horses, and it ain't going to be pretty for at least a full year. And that's just the reality of the situation they're in. They tried something that I think a lot of us thought would work, and it hasn't worked. It hasn't really worked around college basketball, and now they've got to change systems, and boy, ain't going to be easy rebuilding a roster in the way they need to because they just haven't put the time in on high school recruiting that they need to, and that's another big swing and miss by this staff.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if there's a chance to recover from it, at least the efforts there. Tim, I want to talk about the college football playoff in year one. We didn't have time to get to this last week. You like to get on, you know, Twitter and fight with fans from other parts of the country about what
other
they're,
parts of the state.
Other parts, yeah, yes. No, but not when it comes to the CFP. Other when it comes to the CFP, you're picking fights with the SEC. You're picking fights with the Big Ten. What do you like in totality, though? Like, this wasn't the Big 12's year. We knew it wasn't going to be.
No.
I'm not sure a team needed to be there other than Arizona State in all reality. We got two teams in a championship game that wouldn't have been there before. We found in a very real way who the best team was. I think we need to play the game sooner.
Yeah.
For sure. Outside of that, though, format-wise, are you happy with how this played out and shook out as far as which teams were there and those sorts of things, or is there still work to be done?
There's work to be done. I think we, first of all, let me say, I think this was by far the best thing we've had.
Yeah.
This was great. Guys, we had 11 college football games instead of three. I mean, that's huge. And I loved every game, even the blowouts. But I think we did find a couple things here that the buy plan, I even though I'm a Big 12 guy, I think you need to look at it and say, look, we're going to give the top four teams a buy. And like I've said repeatedly on my YouTube channel and my website that, hey, I think if you're a conference champion, you get a home game. You may not get a bye, but whatever the seedings are, it doesn't matter. You get a home game. You're a conference champion. And I think that's the good compromise. But we also saw that the four teams that got byes lost. And that needs to be addressed because we're not just talking about, you know, Arizona State losing as maybe an overseeded conference champion. We're talking about the top schools in the bracket also lost. So it's something they'll need to look at. Chris Klieman has told me repeatedly they need to just go to 16, but we need to figure out the schedule a little bit better. There's a whole daisy chain of changes they need to make. Step one is to get all the conferences on the same page with the amount of conference games they're playing. And I think the number of power conference teams you play should be rewarded or punished. And then go to 16 and maybe we need to go back to 11 regular season games. And, at the end of the year, I think even the ACC is looking at conference championship, trying to do something different. Maybe you just go to 11 games and then the last week is scheduled on the fly. One plays four, two plays three, yes. And everyone else yes. plays each other yes. within your conference. And that gives you the best chance to move teams forward, and everyone gets that, last week. And if you're number, say in the Big 12, you're number 15 and number 16, you get to play each other, maybe unless you've played already, and sort out who's the better of the bad. I think that would be a really fun way to do it on the last week. You wouldn't know who you're playing.
Also prevents Indiana, right? And it prevents a bad team that played a soft schedule from sneaking in there.
Yeah, you're right. It forces
bad,
you.
If I
you're
shouldn't a top, say bad team, but
yeah. They were they're a good team. They were, but they were really untested. And look, I'm not going to fault anyone for beating the teams you should beat.
Right.
A lot of teams don't do that, including the national champion.
Yeah.
And they did that. I think that they need to kind of reimagine not just college football, guys, but I've got this thing I want to do a project on reimagining college athletics and the calendar mostly of what we're doing and how we're going about it. Because I think it can be better for the student athletes and better for the fans and better, honestly, for the TV partners to have more year-round type programming. So we'll see what they look at doing. I think they might leave it alone for a year, but I know that it's going to be a lot calmer with changes because the SEC stunk. Because if they had shown that they were really good and didn't have enough spots, all hell would break loose.
Yeah.
But they weren't very good, and it'll be calm. But I think that it says a lot about college athletics, and I'll shut up after this, that we're all happy the SEC, outside the SEC, of course, didn't make it to the final again. But somehow we're celebrating Ohio State as a victory for the little guy. What?
Hey, but I mean, by the way, like real quick, did you ever think we'd be talking about national champion Will Howard?
No, but my God, did he transform into college football playoff Tom Brady or what?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, he just ripped through that bracket. That was as brilliant a quarterback play. I'm going to go out on a limb here. That was as brilliant of quarterback play at the college level I've seen over a four-game stretch against really good opponents. Probably in my memory. I don't remember ever seeing a quarterback do what Will Howard did, and maybe it's just because nobody's had that opportunity to do it in a playoff format like that. But it was absolutely brilliant. He was calm, collected, and he just distributed the ball to his guys. And critics say he's like the eighth best guy on that offense. There's more talent on that offense. Will Howard just long for the ride. Folks, he was the MVP. And he was the MVP for a reason because, he might not be the highest NFL rated talent on that offense, but he put it all together. He was the thing that connected it all, and he was brilliant. He really was. I'm really happy for the kid. He's a great young man.
Poster boy for all the good things about the transfer portal.
Yes,
in my opinion. All right, Fitz, what do you guys have going at GoPowerCat.com?
Well, we're going to talk about a little basketball.
Yay.
That always drives those subscriptions. And we've gone to a new podcast format. We just tried to try something out. And we're now doing, instead of one big podcast, we're doing three smaller ones. We did a women's basketball one. That was my nephew, Ethan, who covers that for us. It was brilliant. And then it was his podcast debut. And then we've got a football one breaking loose here in just an hour, I think. And then, or I guess it's 2 hours now that you guys are morning creatures. And then we've got a basketball one coming up and more coverage. Heck, they play again on Saturday. It just doesn't stop.
Here we go. GoPowerCat.com. Thanks, Fitz. We're coming right back with more Sports Daily right after this.
Of course.